Good afternoon, everyone. It's time for a Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you today, Thursday, September 6th, here in Juneau, Alaska. And today we'll be talking to Swarupa Toth of AWARE about the Fall Advocacy Training Program. Also in the studio today with us is Junior Achievement Program Executive Director Flora Teo. Going to be talking to Marsha Hoffman DeVoe from the Veterans Administration. Also going to be finding out about rotary bulbs and Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney as well. Going to go first to National Native News here. Forecast for today is for mostly cloudy skies, mostly cloudy tonight, and rain likely tomorrow.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service,
and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
And by
the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support comes from the Juneau Empire, celebrating a century in Juneau. More information on Facebook, in print, or JuneauEmpire.com on the anniversary festivities for the Juneau Empire.
And welcome back to a Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you, and I'm here with Swarupa Toth of AWARE. And welcome, Swarupa. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you being here.
Hi, Andy. Thanks so much for having us here.
And you wanted to talk a little bit. It's a really interesting thing that you guys are doing here. There's a training that's happening, actually fairly intensive 40-hour training course that's happening that AWARE is putting on. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Yes, we're really excited about this. This is our biannual training. And we bring to the community from AWARE some of the information about what we do on a daily basis and allow people to understand what they can do to help. There's a real concern in our community about how to participate. And AWARE, which stands for Aiding Women in Abuse and Rape Emergencies, is an agency in Juneau that also helps extend out around 9 rural communities. And we're mainly focused on domestic violence, sexual assault, and educating the communities around in various agencies in different communities as well as our own. We have a shelter.
Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe most people know AWARE as being this shelter, the location, and knowing about that as a place that people can go.
That's right. We have a shelter that houses you would say not so comfortably, but up to about 48 people. And I say people because many people believe that because of our name that we only serve women and children, and that is our mission. But also there are men who are victims of domestic violence, and although we would not place them at the shelter, we do help and serve that community as well.
So tell me about the idea behind this training. It's really something the whole community can get involved in, or anyone, any person that's just sort of interested in this, or is it more focused towards people who maybe work in this field, or tell me about what the audience is.
Yes and yes, I would say.
Okay.
it's really meant for community members who are interested, and I'd really look at at this as though, do I know somebody who's experiencing domestic violence, or do I know somebody who's experienced a sexual assault who my heart goes out to them and I don't know what to do? Maybe they're a friend or a family member. It's not what you would think would be the natural way to support a person like that. You know, there are so many ideas that we have about helping, you know, let me talk to you about it. What can I do for you? But really, there's a schedule of time that happens on its own, and it's something that you can learn about. So if you're a community member like that, this is a really excellent training to help you to understand how to work with either the effects of domestic violence or sexual assault in friends or family members. Many agencies who also serve the public will come and register for this. Some of them are like Catholic Services, Tlingit and Haida, Office of Children's Services, nurses, doctors, teachers, people who work with the public, counselors, court clerks. So you kind of know if you have that question inside of you, how to work with this.
And then is the training done by the AWARE staff, or are you bringing some people from outside, or how is the how do these kind of classes, is that how it goes? Or
yes and yes.
Okay. I love
very
it.
Very affirmative.
I'm asking all the right questions.
So we have it's a two-part training. The first part is about 25 hours, and that's a series of presentations and interactive discussions exploring the basic history and foundation of domestic violence and adult sexual abuse and child sexual abuse.
Now, is that something that's specific to Juneau's history with it, Alaskan history with
yes.
it, or is that right?
It's,
and is that different than what is found in other areas?
Not really.
Okay.
Although each state has its own laws. And this really is about the history. Like the first night, we'll talk about the history of the battered women's movement and the firm foundations of domestic violence. And our executive director, Sarilyn Tabachnik, will be presenting that evening. So most of the presenters are what I would call our experts from AWARE, but the real experts are the people that we work with. I mean, we're trained nationally, and we're trained at higher levels of education, but the people who really teach us about what's going on and what works are the women and the children and the men themselves, the victims.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who let us know what works for them and what doesn't, what the real concern is, and what will help them, and what we can do to help other people. Oftentimes, after a period of time, after a trauma, the best medicine for someone who's trying to survive one of these experiences is someone who has survived. So our level of expertise comes from our day-to-day involvement with the people who are really struggling to overcome these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarilyn celebrates her 25th anniversary at AWARE.
Wow.
And she started when she was 3. She's still... No.
And
she'll be leading that, and so she'll bring a wealth of knowledge, and she's lived the history here, so it's really a beautiful opening presentation. And let me just describe the schedule a little bit. So
sure,
that,
yeah, it's a quite extensive. I'm looking at a copy of it here, and as you say, it's multiple days and pretty full days.
Yeah, it looks maybe a little more complex than it is. It's Monday and Thursday evenings, so you can go after work, and Saturdays and Sundays all day. And it starts on September the 10th. So part one goes from September the 10th through September the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's out there thinking, I wonder if I can do this, you can do it after work if your work is during the day and on the weekends. You can also sign up for less than the first 25 hours if you are interested in just getting some of the basics in the first few nights.
And is that how it's constructed? The basics,
yes.
Kind of will cover the overview stuff happens in the first couple of nights, and then you dive down deeper into some specifics.
Right. And a lot of people take the 25-hour part of it, and they feel really complete, and they do have a well-rounded understanding about domestic violence and intimacy, peace, healthfulness in our own living rooms, and a better idea of what sexual assault is and what healthy relationships can be.
Mm-hmm.
Then part two, all of our volunteers and staff and other agencies that we work with, like, for instance, some of the nurses who work in the emergency room who help us with the sexual assault responses, some people who would like to become staff at AWARE. That's part two, is a little more hands-on. And I'll talk a little bit more about the content of part A and part B. But that's something. Part B is where you're going to talk to our coordinator and mm-hmm. interview for that to see if that's something that you really want to participate in.
What do you find are some of the most kind of the biggest obstacles to people wanting to learn about this? I mean, I can imagine that it's just tough. It's a tough subject to talk about and a tough subject to want to learn about, even though a lot of us have had people in our lives who've been unfortunately touched by this.
I think that you've hit it right on the head. The difficulty in believing that this can even happen, maybe even in your own household.
Right, it's so awful to think about, right.
It's just like blinders, because it's hard on your heart. It's really hard, especially if it's a family member or someone that you've been intimately involved with for a year or 2 years, and suddenly, you know, you're looking in the eyes of your beloved and suddenly you're defending yourself against that person. It's difficult to believe, and there's a lot of shame around it for the victim. It's something that we tend to want to heal quickly. Let's get through this. Let's get it over with. And really, in any kind of trauma, whether it's a broken bone or a broken heart, it heals in its own time. And some of the best things that we can do is just be there and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And our tendency, though, and this is one of the obstacles, is to want to fix it.
Right.
To want to come
right.
and help.
Yeah.
And really, the best way to help, come and take the training.
Yeah. So what is your hope to come out of this training? It's an extensive sort of schedule here. You're kind of, I'm sure, going to get a pretty diverse audience of different people. What are you hoping as an agency? What is AWARE hoping to kind of, I know it's probably not cut and dry, but what are you kind of hoping to accomplish out of the whole training?
Well, we would like to support and recycle the governor's beautiful plan and platform of ending the epidemic of domestic violence as a priority in this state. He's lent us so much energy and airtime, and it's really made people feel confident about coming forward and taking help at AWARE. So we really want to open the door, invite people in to find out about how this training sort of turns the world right side up. In the world of power and control in relationships and abuse, there is a place where you can go and be heard and be believed, and it sort of sets the world, oh, yes, this, mm-hmm. you know, someone is hearing me, someone does understand, and you can become one of those people, and this allows for healing to happen. So it's our goal to raise a greater awareness of how to function with this sort of violence in our community so that it actually can heal, and we can, with our information and our awareness, help to end the cycle of violence and really create tools for healthy relationships and intimacy, peacefulness, and fairness.
Well, that's amazing. Goal, and it sounds like a great step forward here, this training. It's going to be happening September 10th through the 20th, and then September 22nd through the 24th as that last final weekend.
That's the more hands-on
intensive.
That's
the hands-on one as well.
Yeah.
Well, Swarupa Toth from AWARE, thanks so much. That's the fall advocacy training. Is there a place people can go for a little more information on this if they want to find out more on this?
Yeah, please call us at AWARE at 586-6623. Our coordinator is Katie Craner, and she is ready to register people, and all of our speakers are really excited about updating our PowerPoints and bringing forth our newest stories to help explain. You can register in advance, and you can look at the specifics of the schedule online at awareak.org.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. That's the AWARE advocacy the AWARE Fall Advocacy Training Program coming up in September.
Thanks, Andy.
That's the music of Zool Bailey, who'll be in town here this weekend. He's got one show that I think is close to sold out, but he's opened up another show. You'll be hearing more about that tomorrow as Zool Bailey comes on this program here on a Juno afternoon, stay tuned for that. In the studio with me now is Lance Stevens and Flora Teo of the Junior Achievement Program. Thanks to both of you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy, for bringing us on.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great. And tell me a little bit about the Junior Achievement Program and what's happening.
All right. Well, Junior Achievement's a program that's actually worldwide, but has been in Alaska for the past 40 years, and I'm here today to work with some of the Juno Community Committee members to help get some volunteers and teachers interested again in the program. Statewide, we reach about 7,500 students and nearly 1,000 here in Juno, I think, over the past few years. And so the demand for the program is increasing. And essentially, the program is provides a vehicle for business people to get into the classroom, partner with educators to talk to kids about economics, financial literacy, entrepreneurship, those kinds of skills.
And then do specific programs come out of it that kids sort of do these specific kind of programs here in Juno?
Yeah, so each grade level has a age-appropriate program developed for it that the volunteer will take and work with the class on hand-in-hand. It's a lot of hands-on learning that goes on through games and networking, and the kids really respond very well to.
And is this a program where like kids can actually start kind of their own business or a model of their own business and that sort of thing? Or how do they sort of learn through the program?
Right. Well, ideally, that's the hope. But what the Junior Achievement Program provides is really a step by builds in pieces that eventually lead up to that. So at the basic at the elementary level, we focus on basic economic concepts. And every year, the grade or the skills build upon each other, so that we can give them a blank resume and ask them to fill it out. And then the next year they might ask to be put, or the next week they might ask to be do a mock interview.
And a blank resume, I mean, that's a big deal for a kid. I mean, you know, I can sort of remember that, right? Looking at a blank page and going, okay,
yeah,
what am I going to put here? What's the format and all that?
Right. And no matter what you do at some point, just having that skill in and of itself will help students be more successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those, as you say, a building block to just sort of entering the workforce and being someone who can get a good job and all those things. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. What are some of the examples of stuff that's happened in the past years with this program?
So last year was a big growth year for us. We were in 6 schools. We delivered 21 class presentations. And we had just over 400 students participating in the program last year.
And is that elementary, middle, and high school? Is that
correct?
Okay.
All 3.
Yeah, great.
And so what you were commenting on, you know, the build your business, that was the high school model.
Right.
We're, you know, obviously not quite there in grade school. And then the middle school is talking, the program I did a couple of this last year was talking about how education transfers into career opportunities. And how important the relationship is to income and all those types of things.
Is there a misunderstanding that you find that students and kids have about what they're expecting from the workforce and the experience they actually have in the workforce? It seems like maybe this is that kind of real world, talking to people in the real world who are really in business and giving that true example of what real life is really like in a way.
Right. Well, in a way, I think that the assumption by a lot of people is that those kinds of conversations happen at home, or sometimes maybe they happen at school, and at base level, you can probably guess that a lot of students haven't thought about, okay, this may be what I want to do, but what steps do I need to get there? And the reverse, I mean, I'm really good at math, or I'm really good at art, and, you know, how does that translate into a career later on? So I don't know that it's a misperception, but it definitely is a conversation I think that they should be thinking about, and the younger, probably the better.
Yeah, so you're just never too young to start thinking about these kinds of ideas and what you're going to do.
Right. So the first time you're applying for a job, you know, it's not the first time you've thought about these things.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Unlike me. I can remember that. Boy, just getting dropped off. Dad dropped me off. Go apply.
All right.
Okay. We didn't have the Junior Achievement Program in my school. but tell me a little bit. Can you think of a couple of specifics from last year or things you might be working on this year?
Well, So specific from last year, so one of the programs is helping them connect education with careers. And so what does that mean in STEM? There's a lot of talk about science, technology, engineering, and math. Core, those are the inventors and the originators of the next. And so with this group, I said, so who wants to develop the next video game console? So do you think you're going to need technology skills, engineering skills, some mathematics? What about science? You know, these are all skills you're going to need.
Right, right.
You know, and then if you can't communicate these skills and your design concepts to the marketing team, it's never going to get produced. So you need to be paying attention. You need to do your English, and you know, all that type of stuff is important too. And so it helps them see the connection between school and what they're learning in school and how it's going to apply someday in their life. Maybe not right now, but if I want to design the next best video game, I better study up.
Right. You need to know more than how to play and some creativity. Of course, that's important as well. And then there's kids who sort of focus into that energy as well.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, talking about teamwork and sharing of ideas and things like that. And another group was talking about how the global economy is so linked together. If you're producing wheat over here and you're shipping it through a company that's based in Greece, and then you're transferring it over here, and then this company's now buying from Italy, and then it's going to the United States. And if you're stringing a string between all the fingers, well, what happens if supply over here is pulled? And then what does that do? And it's collapsing the economy over here.
Right.
And so it helps make connections. And they had a lot of fun with the program. And I think if you can have fun talking about sometimes really dry concepts, economics is not always, and finance aren't always the most exciting concepts for children to learn. But when you put it in the context of games and hands-on learning exercises, it's amazing how quickly they pick up on them.
Yeah. So what's the schedule for this? And it's the beginning of the school year here, so what's the kind of schedule for getting kids involved? And if parents are out there listening and wanting to make sure their kid gets on board here, how can they do that?
Well, we have programs that go on throughout the school year. If a parent or teacher or if there's a volunteer that wants to get involved, I would encourage them to visit JA's website, alaska.ja.org, and fill out a form. It's online. You submit it, and what the JA office will do then is put you in contact back with the Juno committee and try to match you up. But it's year-round. It's a year-round program, grades K through 12, and as long as we can find a volunteer and provide the program materials, I know that the Juno committee would like to grow and make this program available to as many teachers as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You know, and as a parent, it's advocating, you know, through your school that you feel that this would be a good addition to the learning experience, helping recruit a teacher to take that next step. They're very busy. They have a lot to teach our children every day. The comments I heard back from the two teachers I worked with is how well it worked within the curriculum that they were providing.
And so I think it just fit naturally for them.
It fit naturally into their program. And so as we pull up the program that's age appropriate, finding out when is the best time based on their agenda for their classroom and saying this is when it would be an appropriate time so we can find a volunteer.
Yeah, and just making that educational experience real and live for kids is such an important part of what sort of drives home this education for children.
And sometimes when you have a volunteer in the classroom saying it goes a long ways. You know, teachers can say things over and over. It's kind of like when your parents tell you to do something and then somebody else's parent tells you to do something and you listen, you know. Volunteers that go into the classroom, they're really reinforcing the concepts that the teachers are trying to teach. And if it goes along, if they can match it up with their curriculum, which all of our programs align with state learning standards, if teachers can help with that way, then it really helps make certain concepts more effective.
Yeah. Well, great. So it's JAJuno or JAAlaska.org. Is that right? What's the website again? Give me the website
it's
again. Sorry.
Alaska.ja.org.
Alaska.ja.org is where you can go to find out more information on this. Lance Stevens and Flora Teo, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Right now we're going to go to Garrison Keillor and Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, September the 6th, 2012. It's the birthday of Robert Persig, born Minneapolis, 1928, who wrote a big best-selling book back in 1974, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, an Inquiry into Values, which has sold over 5 million copies, which is a lot for a book of philosophy. It's an account of his road trip from Minnesota to California and his quest to reconcile Eastern, Western philosophical traditions, a book that begins, "I can see by my watch without taking my hand from the left grip of the cycle, that it is 8:30 in the morning. We are in an area of the Central Plains filled with thousands of duck-hunting sloughs heading northwest from Minneapolis toward the Dakotas. I'm happy to be riding back into this country. It is a kind of nowhere, famous for nothing at all and has an appeal because of just that. Tensions disappear along old roads like this." And it's the birthday of Jane Addams, born to a wealthy family in Cedarville, Illinois, 1860. She suffered from depression, went to Europe thinking it would help, visited a settlement house in London, a place that offered social services to the poor, and decided to start one on the south side of Chicago. It was Hull House, a neighborhood center. They put on plays and concerts. There were book clubs, classes. Jane Addams was a leader in the women's suffrage movement. She fought for immigrants' rights, lobbied for labor reform, and won the Nobel Peace Prize. Here's a poem for today by Joseph Mills entitled "The Guardian." "I don't think my brother realized all the responsibilities involved in being her guardian. Not just the paperwork, but the trips to the dentist and Walmart, the making sure she has underwear, money to buy Pepsis, the crying calls because she has no shampoo, even though he has bought her several bottles recently. We talk about how he might bring this up with the staff, how best to delicately ask if they are using her shampoo on others, or maybe just allowing her too much. 'You only need a little, Mom,' he said, 'not a handful.' 'I don't have any,' she shouted before hanging up. Later, he finds a bottle stashed in her closet and two more hidden in the bathroom, along with crackers, spoons, and socks. Afraid someone might steal her things, she hides them, but then not only forgets where, but that she ever had them at all. I tease my brother, 'You always wanted another kid.' He doesn't laugh. She hated her father, and in this second childhood, she resents the one who takes care of her. When I call, she complains about how my brother treats her and how she hasn't seen him in years. If I explain everything he's doing, she admires the way I stick up for him. Doing nothing means I do nothing wrong. This is love's blindness and love's injustice. It's why I expect to hear anger or bitterness in my brother's voice, and why each time we talk, no matter how closely I listen, I'm astonished to hear only love." The Guardian by Joseph Mills, from his collection Love and Other Collisions, published by Press 53 and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
You gotta run, 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 run.
Because many teams will be converging on the Auk Bay Terminal for the Klondike Road Relay on Friday afternoon, September 7th, the Alaska Marine Highway is asking for your help to keep congestion down. Parking at the Juneau Terminal is very limited, so please share rides, get rides from team volunteers, or take a cab if possible. If you don't have a ticket, the Marine Highway advises very early check-in due to the high volume of departing passengers. And the forecast for the rest of the day is for mostly cloudy skies with some scattered showers, highs around 57 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 45. And then for tomorrow, rain likely in the morning, then rain in the afternoon. I guess it's rain all day long then, and highs around 54 degrees. Rain is in the forecast for through the rest of the weekend as well, and highs around 54 degrees and lows around 47 degrees. And next with me here on a Juneau afternoon is Marcia Hoffman DeVoe. She's down from Anchorage from the Veterans Administration. Marcia, thanks very much so much for coming in. Oh, appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you guys are having a really interesting event. It's called the Southeast Alaska Veterans Stand Down. Tell me about what's going on here this weekend.
Well, this is an outreach event to encourage veterans to gather together to learn about not only VA services, but we also have some local community resources available. We'll have 13 different information tables available about various programs and how the VA and community agencies interact. And it's like a one-stop shop, so to speak. So it's the Veterans Mall tomorrow at Centennial Hall and on Saturday, that they have the opportunity to sign up for VA benefits, get information about programs that they may be interested in or don't know about, and then we'll have some of the community agencies. We'll have some food and some lunch and some. There's always that veteran camaraderie.
Sure, yeah. Is there a particular thing or service that you find that veterans kind of don't know about that's available for them? Are there particular questions that are asked all the time?
It's, am I eligible and what I'm eligible for? The VA is a federal agency, so
right.
It is a bureaucracy. Sometimes it can be very intimidating to a veteran to just make that first step to come into the door to find out. And so tomorrow, if anything, if you're just wondering at all, you know, please come and sign up. If I know we have some active duty service members here in Juneau as well. If you're wondering what you might be eligible for when you leave your service, mm-hmm. when you leave the military, come find out. This is also a good way for you to find out about those benefits because the VA is nationwide. It's not just here in Alaska. So whether you decide to stay here or go someplace else, you can get a head start on finding out what your benefits are.
And, of course, health is the thing that I think I would think about the most when I think about the VA hospitals and those kinds of things. Is that something that are there particular issues that come up along those lines that veterans are most interested in hearing about?
Well, again, it's the eligibility. We have the Health Care Administration has 8 different priority groups, and so there's some veterans say I have to have a service related disability. No, you don't. If you've never had any injuries related to service, you still may be eligible for VA health care services. So you really should come down and find out.
It's sort of a case by case basis kind of thing.
It is.
And so you have to ask the questions.
Right. And sometimes it's income based, and sometimes it's if you were exposed, like for a Vietnam veteran, if you were exposed to Agent Orange, you're probably eligible for not only health care benefits, but you're most likely eligible for some type of disability benefit, which is an income benefit that can give you additional income each month.
Mm-hmm.
And, depending on the percentage of your disability and if you still have dependent children, those dependent children and family members, you get additional monetary benefits related to the size of your family, and they may also be eligible for some education benefits. And so we'll have people from healthcare as well as those type of benefits and service organizations that can help, you sort out those kinds of questions and VA questions.
Have you done an event like this in Juneau before?
We have not. So this is our first time in Juneau.
Great. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's exciting, especially when it's good and rainy like this.
Hey, I've seen some blue sky
down
here
true.
Today.
That's true. I shouldn't knock it. We had some blue sky earlier today.
And I almost got my sunglasses for that patch of sun.
That's right. Well, so you haven't had one here. Do you have any idea about, do you have any expectations about what kind of attendance you might get or how many people or?
We know that there's about 7,000 veterans in Southeast Alaska. And we have had some veterans or representatives of veterans groups come in from CAKE, as well as from HUNA and from Haines. And so they'll be taking some information and some of the military gear that we'll be distributing back to veterans in their communities. And so they've sent representatives with them.
Tell me a little bit about that. You're distributing. This is a fun part of the program.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun part of it where there's sort of military gear of all kinds that gets distributed out to veterans and also to other needy folks in the community. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah. So the event's on Friday and Saturday from 10 to 4 on Friday, 10 to 3 on Saturday. So our first priority will be for veterans and family members, and it's just excess gear such as jackets, socks, cold weather, bedrolls, sheets, towels, caps, mittens, blankets, sweats, all different kinds of things that we're stacking on tables in one of the rooms in Centennial Hall. However, starting at noon on Saturday, we will also open up the excess clothing to other needy individuals in the community. The Secretary of the VA has said, we will serve our veterans and our military and service members and their families, but, we will also, work with our community members. So if there's community members in need, starting at noon on Saturday, you also may be able to come by the Centennial Hall and take advantage of some of these items that we may have available.
Yeah, right. And you were saying that it's really interesting to watch when you have these items available for the veterans that come in, that it sort of can elicit a flood of memories.
It does. Yeah. Yes. I mean, because some of the items are, and I'm watching these veterans because I have no idea what these are. And they say, I remember that, and those are for that, and this is for that.
And helping identify what was this thing.
Yeah, and these are liners, okay. And they go with those mittens, and those are liners, and they go with those boots, and, this bag is for this. There's like 3 or 4 different kinds of bags, and they all have different names and different purposes, and so they've got it organized very well and things to match up with what they're supposed to match up with.
right. Terrific. Well, tell me a little bit more about the eligibility on the health. That's interesting to me. You were saying if someone was exposed to something. But often I would think that maybe a veteran might not necessarily know they were exposed to something or might not know if they're... So how do those things get determined and how do they find out about that?
Well, and that's another reason why we want the veteran to come. Particularly when we start talking about those different kinds of exposures, with our benefits counselors and our service organization service officers, once they know that you say you've served in this branch of service during this period of time, they'll start asking you more of those specific questions because they are trained to say, okay, during this period of service or if the person served in this particular part of the country or this foreign part of, like in Vietnam, boots on the ground, it's just automatic. Assume that you were exposed to Agent Orange. And there are certain health care conditions then that are what they call presumptive conditions. And
so people might not even assume that that's what it is, but if you're having any of those questions, mm-hmm. that's something to talk about, yeah.
There's diabetes, some heart conditions, and some types of cancer are already presumptive conditions for our Vietnam veterans that served on the ground and assume that they were exposed to Agent Orange. And a lot of times, the average person wouldn't associate those types of diagnosis, with that type of service. And so that's why it's important to come down and say, I'm a veteran. I served in this branch of the military during these dates, and this is why. And I also want to encourage our, more recent generation of veterans to come as well, because if you served in support of Iraq, Afghanistan, there's also, presumptive conditions or benefits available for you for those services as well. Women veterans, women don't oftentimes even though they served in the military, they don't identify themselves as veterans. And we have a full healthcare package available. And you don't have to be sick. These are the preventive services I'm talking about, just your annual exams, maternity care, relatively new benefit, for VA to providing. So if you're a female veteran pregnant, we can help provide your prenatal and OB care, and the delivery of the baby. So please, come and ask about those kinds of questions. That's the kind of information that people don't necessarily really think that the VA can help with, and we can.
Yeah. Really interesting. Well, Marcia, give us the hours and times and all that one more time here.
So it'll be at Centennial Hall tomorrow, Friday, September 7th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have a little opening ceremony tomorrow at 10 to just kick off the event. And, please come down and see us. Community members, other needy individuals, on Saturday at noon, you'll be eligible for to come in for services as well. And if you're interested in volunteering, we're mustering the volunteers at 9 o'clock so that we can get jobs assigned and get you just a little job-specific orientation. And, we'll put you to work.
Okay, great. The Southeast Alaska Veterans Stand Down, Marcia Hoffman DeVoe. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for coming down to Juneau and doing this.
Thank you.
Great. Let's have a cheerful discussion now, shall we? We're going to talk about rotary bulbs and getting some cheerfulness in your garden. I'm with Rosemary Hagovig and Gene McBrien from the Rotary, and it's time for rotary bulbs. It's time to get out there and think about planting rotary bulbs. So, Rosemary.
Fall is here. It's time to get those guys in the ground.
Okay. What is the season for getting these bulbs in the ground? What's the window of opportunity to do this?
The season to start thinking about it is right now.
Okay.
And seeing your friendly Juno Gastineau Rotarian and making the purchase, or looking us up online at rotarybulbs.com. And making your selections. And then on the 6th of October is pickup day.
Okay, and October 6th. Wow,
October
so there's a pretty quick turnaround
coming.
Here.
It's
okay.
A quick turnaround and mercifully quick. And, hopefully often on that day it's a nice day and people come in, pick them up, and run right home and dig up that dirt and put them in the ground.
And what is your so I'm a beginner gardener. I have a garden. I have
good.
A yard.
And so you're ready.
I have an inherited garden, right? The former homeowners had a beautiful garden, and I've just looked at it for a number of years, basically weeded it. I probably weeded out some crocus or something, I'm sure. But tell me, what are some of the kind of best growing, easiest to grow, best ones if you're kind of a beginner gardener?
Well, best to grow in Juneau, and the varieties that naturalize the easiest here are daffodils, just about any kind of daffodil, and grape hyacinths. And those are the ones that I always recommend to people because they are just about a sure thing to come back year after year. And, in fact, grape hyacinths you have to dig up and sort of spread out again because they have babies.
Oh, okay.
but tulips that are such a beautiful show in the spring, unless you've got a really dry, sheltered place for them. I count in my yard in Douglas of putting 100 new tulips in every year. So I treat tulips like an annual, but it is worth it. It is worth the effort. And
so you have a riot of color in spring.
A riot of color in the spring. And all of these varieties go very, very well with the perennial gardens that Juneau is so famous for in the spring.
Right, right. Now tell me a little bit about what happens with the funds that you raise for this. This is all great. It's fun. Everyone wants to get the rotary bulbs. We hear about it every year. Yeah. But then what happens with the money that's raised?
Well, they're used for community projects, and we have several, as do most Rotarians. Our specialty is the Family Day at the Lake, which happens in June.
That's always a fun thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. We do home repairs for seniors and the disabled. We do the annual food bank collection. Actually, I think it's twice a year now. We serve meals at the Glory Hole. We get involved in the construction of recreational facilities, including the Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
And Pioneer Home Christmas Party and highway cleanup. So all of the funds that we pull together through this fundraiser go towards our community projects.
Yeah. If someone wants to get involved in that part of it, if they feel like they maybe know someone who could benefit from one of the programs, how would they find out about how to qualify for those for being a beneficiary of those community programs? I'm thinking, for instance, you said helping with home projects for the elderly,
for instance.
How would people find out about that?
Actually, we have a solid group of guys that really like to
build
and
and gals.
They build world-class ramps into people's homes.
Okay.
I mean, they would win an architectural award. In fact, we have a couple architects
right.
that work on
that's
this.
Right, always helpful, yes.
And some contractors and stuff. What we do is we work with the different agencies in town, and so we take referrals from the agencies that serve seniors. So there's a pretty steady flow of business, but that's the appropriate way to do it. If you are receiving services from an agency or would like to, you need to go through, you know, Southeast Senior Services or, you know, somebody who's getting ready to move into the Pioneer Home or something like that we can help out with that.
What are your best sellers? What are your best sellers on the bulbs?
Well, you know, we run out of a couple of them every
year.
Yeah,
so what do you run out of?
There's one tulip, I think, called Feeling Hot, Hot, Hot.
Okay.
And
I can see it's all in the marketing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's definitely all in the marketing. And this year we did
something. I see a Mickey Mouse tulip here.
Yeah,
that's a fun
very,
looking one.
It's
yeah.
a very cool tulip. But on the other side of the sheet there, you'll see we did things a little bit differently this year. Lots of times people who are just kind of starting out say, oh, I just don't know what to get. So we put two different basic gardens, if you will, for people. So they can buy, you know, one or both of them.
I see. One is the purple-yellow continuous bloom garden, which is nice because it starts in the spring
and
something pops up every, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's the Juno spring garden, which is also fun because that's like that riot of color
in
the spring.
Riot of
color,
that's right. I mean,
okay, we've broken out of winter. Let's do this.
Yeah. That one, I think, is the traditional red tulips in it. I'm a red tulip person.
Okay, yes, the king's blood.
King's blood is a wonderful red tulip. And
really
very
nice.
Does very well here.
Well, tell me, so is rotarybulbs.com, that's where people can go to?
Rotarybulbs.com, and if you're ordering online, be sure to recognize whichever Rotarian
okay.
that you want to give credit for the sale to, because, of course, we're all very competitive.
Yeah, yes.
There are a couple other things that people who don't like to plant or have trouble planting themselves, we have power planters, and for $40 an hour, they'll come in and put your whole garden in for you.
Another great service.
Right.
There's now no excuse.
None whatsoever.
And, you know, in addition to your personal enjoyment of all this, just think of how much we're beautifying Juneau
yes,
this spring. Yes,
absolutely, so. And that's what it's all about, and that's what Rotary's all about.
That's right.
Well, Rosemary Hagevig and Jean McBrien, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
And rotarybulbs.com is where you can go to find your Rotary bulbs.
Or see a Rotarian.
Okay, yes.
Unforgettable evening of music, conversation, and much more. I'm Sewell Bailey, the Artistic Director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival, inviting you to join Juneau Jazz and Classics as we take an incredible musical journey through all of Bach's 6 suites for unaccompanied cello. Saturday, September 8th at the Egan Library on the campus of the University of Alaska Southeast. For tickets, log on to jazzandclassics.org. I look forward to returning to Juneau to share the wonders of Bach with you.
With all of us, huh? Nancy DeCherney is with me right now to talk a little bit more about that. An update on the Zool Bailey
and
concert.
So you didn't get your tickets.
I did.
Or so you're going to the Henry Rollins and says, but you can do both. They have added a second and encore performance, so you could see on Sunday.
For those of you that are Zool Bailey and Black Flag fans, you'll
and
be able
I believe
to see
in being flexible.
Yes, Henry Rollins and Zool Bailey.
Yes. So anyway, 4 o'clock at a Holy Trinity downtown. There is a second showing for the Zool Bailey fans, and really don't miss this. It's going to be amazing. So let's see what a couple of other little quick things that we need to talk about, because we don't have much time. The Franklin Street Gallery for next month wants to do the open studios, open workshops by artists. And so if you're an artist who's interested in getting their workspace cleaned up and mm-hmm. having a mission to do that.
Yes.
You should sign up with the folks at Franklin Street Gallery so that your workspace will be on the tour next month. So that you can give them a call. It's JunoOpenStudios@gmail.com. But it is First Friday.
Yes.
Coming tomorrow. And there are a lot of things going on. I don't think we have time to go through them.
Well, I can do a quick one. We know the McFeeters Hall is having a special art sale, which
yes.
is going to be happening. So head up to McFeeters Hall. They're also serving a full little dinner,
soup and salad and bread.
Yeah, so that's
nice.
A nice stop. And what else do you have on there?
It's a fundraiser for their kitchen, and
for
we want to mention that. Now,
yep.
you guys have quilts that you didn't tell me about here.
There's beautiful quilts here, the Juno Quilting Club.
Quilt
yes,
show.
Yes. There's actually, I want to just put it, there's an R-rated quilt here.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh. Oh, you can't say that on
yeah,
the R-rated.
Well, it's
car.
R-rated. It's R. It's fine.
Okay, so there's just a lot of things. Come by the Arts Council. Get your little flyer, because there's a lot of different new places. Bee's Bakery will be having a show. They don't usually have something going. Bauer Clifton has ceramics that James Volkers is just pulling out of the oven right now.
Wow. Fresh ceramics.
Fresh
nothing
ceramics.
Like the smell of fresh ceramics.
Yeah, so Adorn has baby clothes. The State Library.
Oh, okay.
They're not usually on the list. They have Landscapes by Puamaunu, and they will be open until 6 o'clock only. Let's see. Bees, Bauer, Clifton, Kyton has stuff by Michael Reed Hunter, new jewelry.
Okay.
Work by him, Figment. They're closing, so this will be your last opportunity to see them. They have wonderful artwork. Their show is called Goodbye for Now, Alana Balam-Schwam and Chad Medall at but go there for the first Friday.
Okay, that's in the Senate building there.
That's in the Senate building, and the Senate building also has the Juno Artist Gallery, and they have a bunch of new works by their artists.
Always so a great stop.
And I understand that's the best food.
All right.
I never know. In our gallery,
what's happening at the Jack?
Oh, my gosh, it is amazing over there. We have four people. We have Khaki Shields, Joyce Payne, and David Riccio, who've made these beautiful vases. All kinds of different kinds of pots and vases. And then we have Teresa Bush over there making amazing sculptures out of the vases and plants and driftwood. And it's amazing.
Wow, very cool.
It's been just fun watching that happen over there.
So that's another great stop on First Friday.
Yeah.
Always stop by the Jack and also come over here to KTOO.
You get your little flyer that way. Also, Larry Johansson is signing his book.
Okay.
Over at the Jack. The Rookery has portraits by Marianne Manning. The Canvas has photography by Reach Artists. It's called Choices. They've been working with Mary Vanderjack all year long to come up with these photographs. So it's really wonderful. And UAS is starting. The Bookstore by the Bay is starting to have First Friday, too.
All right.
So you get done here.
Don't walk there, though.
It'll be a long walk.
Yeah.
Emily will be done by then. Emily Wall has come out with her second book, and she is doing a show or a poetry reading from 5 till 6, and then there'll be refreshments and all the usual stuff. So do we have time to get into Saturday?
Sure. So that's First Friday. So let's talk about some of the performance maybe stuff that's happening.
Yes.
We've got about a minute at the most.
Okay. Well, it's Henry Rollins at the Jack at 6:30. I don't know how many tickets are left for this because we don't have too many over at the Jack, maybe two.
Yeah, okay.
And Bailey and Bach out at the UAS Egan Library sold out, but you can get the Holy Trinity on Sunday. Those are the performances that I'm aware of. Mice and Men of Mice and Men opens with a pay-as-you-can on Wednesday. It's not the official opening.
Okay, next Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay.
Next Wednesday and of Mice and Men, they'll have a Wednesday pay-as-you-can and a Sunday pay-as-you-can. I thought there was a Sunday one. Anyway.
Let's just say there is.
There's going to be one. And just show up and see what happens.
See what you can pay.
And then on Thursday, the University Environment, there's going to be a new series every other week, UAS Environmental Film Series. The one on Thursday this week is WALL-E.
And with that, I've got to cut you off. Nancy,
okay.
We're going to go to headlines from NPR News coming up right now. Nancy DeCherney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, thanks so much. That was Arts Up, and here is NPR News with All Things Considered.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. In the final night of the Democratic National Convention...